underneath that yellow moon, look for a tree, go give it a hug. Time now for our final segment with Simran Sethi and Jacob Gordon.
Welcome to Tree Hugger Radio. I'm Simran Sethi. France has taken a right turn and elected fiscal and social conservative Nicolas Sarkozy as its new president. Sarkozy has assured the world that the United States can count on France's friendship, but last week urged his American compatriot, George W. Bush, to show greater leadership in reducing its carbon emissions, stating a great nation like the United States has the duty to not create obstacles in the struggle against global warming. Kansas Governor Kathleen Sebelius' office is heeding that call and looking into ways to rebuild Greensburg, Kansas, a town of 1,400 people that was recently leveled by a massive tornado that destroyed over 90% of the town's buildings. Chris Klewer, president of the Wichita chapter of the American Institute of Architects, explains what it would take to green Greensburg and why it makes not only ecological sense, but economic sense.
The original idea was that you would have a chance to do something starting with a clean slate, essentially, to be able to not only incorporate things in individual homes and businesses, but to be able to do things with infrastructure, whether it's different sources of energy like wind energy or solar energy, or even things with reusing stormwater, or even like a geothermal heating and cooling system. You know, obviously you have a lot less obstacles to deal with when you've got, like I say, a clean slate to work with. So anytime you can take advantage of the environment to supply energy and to heat and ventilate individual buildings, you know, just the thing that we're learning in green design and green architecture, even if somebody is not totally educated on those things, what it comes down to is that in the long run, you're going to save money on utility expenses. You're going to be creating a healthier environment for the residents. And so it just seems to make sense from an ecological point of view as well as a financial standpoint.
Greensburg isn't the only place to go green. Journalist and eco-advocate Tom Price sat down with Tree Hugger correspondent Megan O'Neill to discuss the ways he's greening the 40,000-person experimental community Black Rock City, better known as the Burning Man Festival. Burning Man is a temporary city built and then entirely dismantled in Nevada's Black Rock Desert for 1 week each summer. As the environmental manager for this massive counterculture event, Price is tasked with the unusual challenge of making a non-permanent city in the middle of nowhere sustainable.
Burning Man has always been a leave-no-trace event. In fact, the permit from the local Bureau of Land Management requires that it be so. But there's no denying that the event has a pretty big waste stream, getting people there, making stuff, and disposing of it all. Now Burning Man is essentially trying to become a closed-loop event in raising awareness about global warming. How has Burning Man gone from a leave-no-trace event to taking responsibility for climate change?
It's really just an expansion of that idea of leaving no trace. Burning Man is the largest leave-no-trace event in the world. We build the 10th largest city in Nevada, live in it for a week, and then take it down literally without a trace. But, of course, there is a trace. Getting there and the materials used leave an impact on the planet, and this year we're expanding the scope of what leaving no trace means to include attempting to offset the entire carbon footprint of the event, reducing solid waste by 50%, and attempting to recycle on a scale that really can't be done in any other city in the world.
I think that the Cooling Man group, which was an offshoot of Burning Man, developed by some climate scientists, estimates that for 2007, the greenhouse gas emissions for Burning Man are going to be somewhere around 27,000 tons, or about 0.7 tons per person. So what are some of the specific things that Burning Man is going to do to reduce that footprint?
We're doing several things. One is we're attempting to use carbon offsets to mitigate the impact of the entire event. But, of course, carbon offsets are only part of the solution. We're actually attempting to become carbon negative. For example, we're switching our entire generator fleet from old red diesel to biodiesel. That's 20,000 gallons of fuel that is now going to be coming from Reno, Nevada, French fry vats instead of from Saudi Arabia or Nigeria or other human rights hotspots. We're running many parts of the city on renewable energy, like the center of the city, the man-based pavilion, is going to be running on 60 kilowatts of solar power. The Center Camp Cafe, we're attempting to build a gasifier that will actually run the cafe on its own waste coffee grounds, pulling carbon out of the atmosphere as it does it. And we're going to recycle at least 5 times the amount of material that we did last year, and we're attempting to reduce our overall solid waste by 50%. It's a huge task. We're in the middle of nowhere, but Burning Man is kind of a metaphor, really, for the planet in that it's a closed-loop system. You're in the middle of the desert. Everything that you do is there right in front of you, and you can immediately see it, and then attempting to mitigate it, you can immediately see whether or not you're successful.
For more of Megan's interview, look for our extended podcast on treehugger.com. And congrats to honorary treehugger and eco-luminary Paul Hawken on the release of his book, Blessed Unrest. We sat down with Paul a few months ago to get his take on the evolution of the movement to sustainability. Here's a retaste of his belief in the grassroots efforts that he details in Blessed Unrest.
I mean, I think of when I raised my kids, we used to, you know, all your favorite books, and one of them they loved, which is Are You My Mother, which is this little duckling walking around, you know, looking at a fender of a car, you know, hood ornament, and a policeman and a steam shovel saying, Are you my mother? Are you my mother? And going around and finally, you know, finding its mother. And I feel like this movement has always had a mother and has never known it. In this case, the mother isn't just the earth, but the mother is humanity. And humanity really cares about humanity. And you would never know it from reading the front pages or looking at, you know, Fox News. But it's true. And this willingness of people everywhere, of means, of no means, to stand up and address with compassion and kindness and generosity the needs and the sufferings of other human beings is so sterling and so splendid, but as I said, so overlooked.
Tell us more about what efforts are bubbling up in your community by joining our newly launched discussion forums on treehugger.com. Thanks for listening.
And thanks to all our friends at Treehugger for their support of this program. We hope to meet up with them in another green place in the not-too-distant future.